everyone. Welcome to another edition of Parenting Unplugged Radio. I'm Todd Mansfield, and Laura will be joining us in just a moment. In the meantime, some of you may have noticed what the posts have said up on Facebook and other places as well, but it has not been an easy last 24 hours. We're getting closer to celebrating my 43rd birthday, which is tomorrow, but right now we are dealing with the death of our dog, and Holly, a golden retriever, 11 years old, and she up and died on us last night, and it was something in which she just didn't look right. We took her in. She was walking kind of gingerly, and we thought maybe it was toenails were long, got them clipped. She was still suffering, and took her in, and they took a look and said, yikes, we can't handle it here. We'll try to take her to another hospital, and she never made it out of that place because there apparently was a tumor in her heart or somewhere around there, and it pretty much just ruptured it, and she eventually bled out. So it's been a very, very sad last 24 hours. As I mentioned, it was for Laura and myself, it was our baby. It was our first kid that we got. We've reminisced about picking her up. We were living in Denver. The grandparents offered us this dog, and we were very excited about it. So I actually flew back, and it was right after the New Year. So I flew back and got the dog, but we didn't have the money to go ahead and pay for a ticket because it was such a short notice deal. So I used my miles to go ahead and get a ticket, but the only tickets and seats they had were first class. So I had to fly first class out to Portland, got the dog, put her in a bag, one of those carry-ons, and slid her right underneath my seat, and we flew right back out the same day to Denver, and she's been with us ever since. And now we're dealing with the aftermath. And it's interesting because recently a listener sent me a note about a similar situation where they had lost their dog, and she has a 4-year-old and 1-year-old and was really struggling with how to talk to them about it. So this is going to be part of that conversation, and we'll have a future guest on to talk about that even more that deals with the loss of pets on a daily basis. But it is Community Day, and on Community Day, Laura and I bring someone in from our lives, and this is somebody who you have seen before and heard before, and we love having him on the show, and it's Larry Rogers. Hello, Larry. How are you doing?
Good, Todd.
I'm so glad. You know, it was as Laura always says, it's kind of perfect, and it is, you know, going into today's show, it was perfect to have you on. You have been able to work with Laura and myself on so many different levels and so many different things that we have, and in fact, we were going to go ahead and as we talked before the show, you had some notes about some things that we were going to talk about because you've been listening to some of the shows and had some ideas with where we wanted to go in our discussion. And what was that exactly?
Defensiveness.
Yeah, defensiveness.
I love
and
that.
And then I got a call from Todd saying that Holly died.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very appropriate that we spend some time talking about Holly and kids and how do you deal with that issue. So, Todd, you've introduced this. I'm wondering, well, how are you feeling about it also?
I've been absolutely just heartbroken. I've been crying my eyes out the past 14 hours. I was bawling yesterday. And it's interesting because in most of my life, I've never cried in front of. In fact, Laura was the first person I really cried in front of.
Yep.
And then yesterday, you know, I mean, I'm in public. I've never cried in public. Mm-hmm. In fact, this was the first time I think I've ever cried in public. And I had no problem with it, but, I'm still, you know, last night I went around and looked for things that Holly slept on or played with. And I just gathered them all up and I was like holding them and just, you know, not letting her go. And it was really, really, really hard. And it still is. I mean, this morning I look out the back and I expect to see her out there. I mean, as simple as something as pooping. I just expect to see Holly out there in the morning doing her thing. And then I expect, you know, I walk by and I see her dish and I see
the fresh sausages that
I put
left
in there 2 days ago. And that's what's really hard is, all the time. And there's so many reminders, and you know, I'm driving down to work, and the music comes on. It's like, well, I can't listen to country. There's no way because there's going to be a mention of something that's going to make it hard. And all the music, it just really, it's ripping me up. The team here has been fantastic at the office. They've been really, really, all of them have been really, really wonderful. But Yeah. I'm hurting. I'm slow. I had 5 intern interviews to do today, and I told all of them, here's what's going on with me. I said, I might start crying in the middle of our interview. Mm-hmm. Just know that. And it has nothing to do with you. It's just I'm really sad right now.
Yeah. Laura, really how sad. Are you feeling?
I'm crying while Todd's talking. Yeah, it's really sad for me. She was a big part of our family, and I think what's so apropos for me is last week Todd got an email from a listener asking us to talk about the death of a pet and how you deal with that with your family. And we were planning on talking about that a bit on today's show. And I just think how, you know, art imitates life or life imitates art is really amazing to me, but how we in a way are also interconnected, you know, and that this happened in the way that it did. And how am I feeling? I'm feeling like there's a hole, you know. I meditate every morning, and Holly wraps her little body, or she did wrap her little body around my body as I sat meditating. And this morning I went out to meditate, and I sat and I just really missed her. And I went in and was sobbing to Todd. I just really missed her energy. She had such a sweet, kind, wonderful energy about her. And it happened so suddenly that I think it's weird, though, because 3 weeks ago I was in meditation and I felt this kind of Holly energy come in. And we did this whole kind of dance around saying goodbye. And I had this huge realization that she was getting older. And I felt for a while, which I've talked to Todd about, that there was something not right and that she was kind of on her way out. And so I kind of said goodbye to her 3 weeks ago, but then I didn't want to deal with that reality of her not being in our lives, you know. Mm-hmm. And also my friend Britt, who you know, mm-hmm. was coming down to visit next month and said, I'll give a hug to Halls for me and tell her I'll be there. And I said to Britt, I don't think she's going to be there. And that was so weird to say those things, you know, but yet now she's not. And so I'm really sad. And yet I also am seeing it as a circle of life in a way, and a great way for our boys to engage in this grieving process. Mm-hmm. Connor's wearing her collar. Mm-hmm. He slept with it last night. Drew, we went to the doctor's appointment today. One of the reasons I'm was a little late coming into the show is that we were at having cranial sacral treatments for both of our boys that were scheduled 6 months ago. And we came in and there's 2 dogs at this house. Mm-hmm. And Drew right away got really feisty. I mean, covering sadness with anger. It was really interesting to watch. She got really angry, and you know, and he kind of jumped on one of the dogs, which she was like, what's going on? You know, and he said, my dog's dead, and she's, you know, and I want a new dog, and you know, and was really sad, right? Mm-hmm. And Connor came in and had the total different reaction, didn't want to be near the dogs, didn't want them near him, and they started licking him. I mean, they could obviously visibly mm-hmm. tell. And I guess he told his friends today at his play date all about how his dog died, and he was really sad. And Sylvia, the mom, said that he started crying to the boys, mm-hmm. and they all hugged him, and which is really great, I think, mm-hmm. that he had that ability, you know, was able mm-hmm. to share with his friends. So I think that, you know, death is a part of life, and to really embrace that is what I'm really trying to do, but yet I'm really sad. Mm-hmm. And I think with the boys, just being really upfront and honest about how I feel, like I said to Drew when he was getting so angry, I said, buddy, I'm really sad about Holly, and I don't know how to be with you right now, because when you're really angry like this, I'm having a hard time because I'm so sad. Mm-hmm. I'm so sad. You know, and I came in this morning to this office, and I got in my so when I went to meditate and I couldn't, I got, you know, you just need to go to the office. And I walked in and her ball was right in the middle of the front door. Mm-hmm. She was here playing yesterday. And I guess I think it's going to come in waves for me, and it's going to be, you know, sad, and then it's going to be, it's okay. And then it's going to be sad, and you know. And I just have to let them come and allow for the grieving process to happen. But I'm really sad.
So I think it's wonderful the way you're both expressing the sadness and showing that, demonstrating that to your kids to help them get underneath that anger and be able to express this. You mentioned, I think you said Drew was angry.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. He's going to, in the next couple of days, I suspect, be sad too.
Yeah.
It'll come out really big.
And he actually, last night it came out really big. He was just sobbing, saying goodbye to her.
Yeah.
And it was really powerful and really awesome, actually. We just sort of let the boys, you know, go through whatever processing they needed to do with crying. And we're explaining, you know, he didn't quite get it because he's four, you know. Yeah. So he kept saying, when is Holly coming home? You know, and we said, she's not coming home. And then there was this whole kind of, you know, you can use the metaphor of, or she's gone home, blah, blah, blah. But for him, the kind of physicality of her not being there. Mm-hmm. And I think that he didn't get that when she was on the table and dead. He thought that she was just asleep, you know, and when is she going to wake up? And so really working through that concept with him is tough with a four-year-old. Connor really got it, and he got it, bam. Right in his heart. And
so what kind of questions did your kids come up with about death specifically and grief?
Well, it's interesting because I think we've talked about death, strangely. I think we've talked about the circle of life quite a bit, and I don't really know why.
But this is visceral.
Yeah.
This is different than a conversation.
Yeah,
this is reality.
Right. So I know, but I'm just trying to think. Did they ask you any questions, honey?
No. I mean, most of it was... just a lot of the question they kept asking was, in the middle of their crying and screaming and wailing, was, when are we getting a new dog? That was kind of the main
question. We want to get a new dog. We want to name her Holly.
It was interesting because Connor and I were going to baseball practice and I was crying the whole way over to practice, and I told all the coaches I was really having a rough go and that I'd been crying a lot, and because I kind of at that point didn't think she was going to make it, even though I didn't really know. But in talking with Connor, he was interesting. He's like, I was telling him I was feeling really sad, and he's like, well, I'm sad, but I'm going to keep on thinking, I'm going to keep on believing that she's going to be okay, that she's going to make it, and that it's going to be okay, that it's going to work out. And I'm like, okay, that's great. And, you know, I was like, thank you, and thank you for helping me, and I'll try to keep that too. And he was great. And then even as Laura gave us a call, told us we needed to get over there right away, we're driving over there, and he's still saying the same thing. And then he went in, and then he just started to cry, just very gently, very quietly. Mm-hmm. But he was definitely, you know, there were tears. And Drew was just, I mean, throwing his body down on Holly. Just kinda,
the difference between
I mean, it was just, children. it was... I was telling somebody about it this morning. I said, if I wasn't so sad and crying so much, I actually almost would have been laughing, because it was actually kind of funny, where it would be like just something subtle, something smaller than just a big old, you know,
drama.
You've seen it in a movie, in a comedy, where somebody just kind of falls on the dying person and is laughing and oh, this. And
but what a gift you gave to your kids. So your kids were at the veterinarian.
Well, and yeah, and
with Holly, who was dead on the table.
I wanted to speak to this because
it didn't seem like we would do anything else.
Right.
I mean, yeah, but...
But circumstances could have handed you something else.
They could have handed us something else. When I was a kid, I had a dog, and my first dog was Holly. She was and that's why we named our dog Holly. But black lab, fantastic, a lot older, 13, 14 years old. Eventually,
Not that much older. Holly was 12 this year.
Well, okay. So she's on black. She's on our driveway in the shade, black. Somebody doesn't see her, runs over her hind legs. They took her in. Said, look, she's so old, this is not going to work, you probably should put her down. So my mom put her down. I was at school. I got picked up that day at school, and my mom said, well, I have something to tell you. And I said, what? She goes, well, Holly's dead. And she told me what happened, but that was it. I never got to see her. I never got to say goodbye. I never got anything. And this was the dog that I had grown up with, that I had ridden more times than you can possibly believe. And that always, even to this day, bothered me, because I was like, wow, I never got to say goodbye. I had a second dog who died on us, but I had been gone at college for a couple of years, so I wasn't around. And okay, well, she had a stroke and all of a heart attack, something, boom, she died. So I'd never been around a pet that had died that had been mine. And that when that happened, I was like, I think it's important. Because I have issues that even today I'm still scared of death, and so I wanted somebody I wanted the kids to experience it, and some people may think that's wrong, but I think it's a incredibly powerful, wonderful learning lesson, and it brings us closer together. It's mm-hmm. been, for me, it's putting a lot of things in perspective. Like, really, does it matter? Do I need to get angry about these things? I mean, come on, this is simple. This is silly. This is not something worth fighting. But I did also notice that there was a lot of anger that crept up in me last night too. I mean, I would, mm-hmm. It's not fair. I mean, why all of a sudden does that happen to her when she meant so much to everybody? But here's one thing we did, Larry, which I thought was fun. And I tried to do this a little bit last night with the boys, was we talked about what are some of the great memories we have. Let's think of all the things, the times that she made us laugh, or she did something silly, or we did something silly. So we were able to bring out some smiles a little bit.
And I think we're planning on doing a little memorial for her. We've decided to have her cremated. And so we're doing a little paw print, and we have a picture of her. So we'll do a little window box at our house to remember her by. But we're going to get her ashes and spread them in our backyard, and then the boys have places they want to spread them, and they want to keep a little bit of her ashes in their rooms. Yeah. And so we're going to spread them, and then we'll talk about happy memories. That'll be sort of our little memorial to say goodbye to her.
You know, I'm also reminded, though, that one of the natural stages of grief is anger. If we go back to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, the five stages of grief, second stage is anger.
Well, I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
I don't feel angry.
Some might say it in the form of, why is God doing this? Others might say it in the form, I want my dog. There's all kinds of reasons for anger to come up when we have loss. And it's a very natural stage of grief.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to watch because at this point in my grieving process, I just really miss her. But I feel like it's a natural thing. And I actually don't feel like she was super young, and I don't feel like she didn't have an amazing life. And I don't feel like she didn't have this, we all loved her so much. Yeah. And even our new baby chicks just totally loved her. When Connor came in with the collar last night dangling, they all, perked up and looked for Holly, and there was no Holly.
Yeah.
And, so, I mean, everyone loved this dog, and my brother called crying, and my dad came to see her, and, my mom called, and we got an email from Todd's mom. And I mean, and our team all loved her. You know, today, Melissa, I met with some of our team members, Melissa and Cynthia. And Cynthia said, we're really going to miss Holly, you know. And Melissa said she was such a great dog. And, I mean, she was just had this extraordinary energy. Mm-hmm. And so I just feel like I don't know if I'll be angry, but maybe I will.
It's been interesting because, of course, I put it out on Facebook on our Parenting Unplugged radio, and there have been some really neat responses. And just because, on that, we're all parents and we deal with it. And one comment was because it was interesting. They have kids that are some of them are similar age to ours, and that their dog died 4 years ago, and the kids still write letters and miss her. They write the dog letters and miss her. I mean, when you're dealing with children and that's a huge part of their life. I don't remember that. I don't know. I'll have to check with my mom to see how soon we got a dog after our Holly died. But I think the grieving process is important. I think, you have to go, you have to feel that pain, and not to punish anybody, not to be harsh, but because that's just, if you cover it up with another dog, then I felt, and I've told the boys, because they keep saying we want a new dog, I said, we need to respect Holly and what she meant to us and feel that.
So take some time.
Yeah.
And I heard today that the grieving process is a minimum of a year long. I think just depending on the person, obviously. I mean, maybe some people work through it more, but they said that studies on grief say a year. Yeah. And interestingly enough, the first thing I spoke to my mom today, and the first thing she said was, when do you want us to get you a new puppy? And I said,
so that's a shock response to grief, as opposed to feeling anything. It's just a shock response. Let's do something.
And then, interestingly,
as opposed to feeling it or being in the moment with the grief.
And interestingly enough,
being in the moment with your kids is grief.
And I said on the phone, Mom, I'm not ready for another dog. And I started crying. I said, I just can't imagine another dog could be like Holly at this point.
Yeah.
And she started crying, and she said, yes, I hear you. And I said, okay, well, when we're ready, we'll talk about it. And I said, and also, to be honest, I don't think I want a puppy right now. If we're going to get a dog, I want to rescue a dog. I want to do something that's going to be good for the world versus getting a brand new puppy. And there's a dog my father bought 4 years ago, and he still has not gone and gotten. And she's like, well, you could have the golden retriever that you're, right away solving it. And I said, Thank you. And I really had to honor that because I know she really loved Holly too.
Yeah.
You watched her with Holly and she really loved Holly. Yeah. So I got, you know, kind of a crying message from her in a text and then this, I've got a solution for you on this. And so I just, holding it in the place of holding some space for Holly, I think is important, and at least for our family.
Right.
To do.
You know, I've known Holly for, what, about 4 years, and I've watched you guys, because Holly has never been in the greatest of health since I've known her. So you've had to pick her up and put her in vans and vehicles and so forth and then get her out. But she was always included.
Right.
You always took the time to do that. It was a great model for your kids. The other thing I was thinking about and feeling is, what a beautiful thing pets are in teaching kids responsibility and love. Because pets are vulnerable, and we give kids a leash, and we tell them, we ask them to treat them well and love them and so forth, and they do, and they learn so much about the beginnings of parenting and responsibility and caretaking and all this. I'd like to go back, though, for a moment, I think, on what kind of questions do kids come up with when this happens? So you said your 4-year-old Drew was like he hadn't really gotten it when he saw the dog dead, and then he's asking, well, is she coming home? How did you answer that question?
No, she's not coming home. Okay. She's passed on. She's in heaven. And we actually said, last night he cried himself to sleep with me in my arms, and I said to him, he was really sad that she wasn't coming home. And I was telling him a story, and we had started the story earlier in the day. We kind of continue these stories throughout the day. And so early in the day when I was telling him the story, he said, and I want to have our whole family, mommy and daddy and Connor and Holly. And so I told the story with Holly barking in the morning, and somebody came and she was barking. And he was like, she's not going to bark anymore, mama. And and it was, you know, yeah, she's not. You're right. And I said, but you know what? I think I think now Holly's moved from being here in a way that she barks and is here to your guardian angel. I think that she gets to be all of our guardian angels and watch over us. And the really interesting thing about my day today is I had this extraordinary day. I mean, other than crying every couple minutes, but just with amazing miracles happening. And the whole time I felt like, wow, this is Holly. And I had a dog when I was out look at me right in the eyes. And I thought, oh, Holly's come to say, you know, hello. I mean, I feel like she is our guardian angel. So to me, I changed it to, you know, she's gone in the physical form, but she is still here. You know, she was brought into our lives for a reason. She's a part of our family. And, it's
been interesting because with Drew, he's always been somebody who talks about before he came to us. Without prompting from us, he's always talked about, yeah, when I was in heaven before I was here. Which has always been,
or
like,
my God told me to do blah blah blah,
and we're not,
which is fairly common, by the way, of young kids.
Wow, because we're not religious. We haven't been sitting there talking about God and talking about heaven and all. He's just come forth with all this stuff, and I'm just kind of like, wow.
And he talks about his sun god and his moon god. I mean, he talks about all these different gods telling him to do different things, and then he says, you know, and in my other life, I did that. Oh, I was in France before I came to this life. I was in France. You know, and just, I mean, it's such a cool flow of conversation. And we don't say, I've heard it be pushed back on by other adults saying, you've never been to France, you know? And what I will say is, well, it sounds like he was in France in his past life. So I think he was in France, you know, because I don't want to crush that spirit. I love those conversations.
And I think the interesting thing, Laura, is, and you brought that to the table where you started saying, all right, well, okay. And, oh, great. Tell us more about it. And that's just enabled him to go ahead and be like, it's also helped us from the standpoint of now. It's like, well, okay, remember you said before you came here when you were in heaven with your God? And he's like, yeah, that's where Holly is now. And he's like, oh. So, I mean, it's actually helped. Had we been crushing this whole belief that he was in heaven with his God, then all of a sudden We're saying that the dog's gone to heaven, but wait, we've been crushing this whole belief around heaven and God for him, so it would be really confusing messages. And I guess that would be the thing that I say to parents is, your kids come and say stuff, great, awesome, good for them.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, kids see ghosts too. I've never seen one. I don't necessarily believe in it, but my kids will sometimes sit there and they say they saw something. I'm like, tell me about it.
Yeah, I loved the one where Connor were sitting at the dinner table and Connor's head went from one side to the other. And I said, well, what was that? And he said, well, that was just a man riding a bicycle. through our living room. I was like, oh, wow, okay. I mean, and whether or not, for me, it's whether or not it's there. It's extraordinary imagination. So to encourage that imagination is great. So, I mean, for me, I've always avoided, especially on this show, getting into these metaphysical conversations or spirituality or God conversations, because I think we all have the right to believe what it is that we want to believe.
Right.
And I think we can support that in our kids too. You know, Connor has never talked about God. He does not talk about past lives. He does not, but he sees ghosts all the time. Mm-hmm. And he has since he was a little kid. I mean, Todd was gone, right? We were at Timberline Lodge. He told this whole, he was having a hard time falling asleep. And I said, what is going on? He said, those men, they're talking so loudly. And I said, what men? And he said, those men up in the corner, they're speaking some language. And he said some words that were actually Russian words. And I'm like, okay, you clearly hear two men speaking, talking. Why don't you? And I said, can you ask them to quiet down? And he said, okay. So then we were quiet. And he's like, okay, now I can go to sleep. And I said, were they quiet? Yes, they were quiet. So, great. You know, they are all going to have their own stuff. And just to let them be in wherever they are is, I think, such a great way to be.
Foundational for children. I'm not crazy. I'm not different. I'm just who I am.
Oh, that would have been helpful, huh?
And, well, it just becomes.
Well, no, you were doing that. It's
yeah, well, no, I'm saying for myself. I was thinking of myself as a child. I went straight to. I have this fear about being crazy because there is mental illness in my family, and I have certain things that happen in my world, right? Like having Holly's spirit come in this morning and tell me to go to the office, and then having a ball sitting in the door when I came in. People think that's a little bit loopy. And so sometimes, and some do. And to be able to know that that's not crazy, you know, I've had you tell me, Larry, thank you on so many occasions, you're not crazy. I mean, it's. There is that gift in our family, obviously, of intuition, and everyone has it, actually, I think.
Yeah.
But there is that kind of, you know, awareness, and I think that,
It's amazing in my practice how many 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds will finally, you know, I want to tell you something that I've never talked about, and it'll be this whole realm.
That's so cool.
Oh, you mean other people experience that, too? Yeah.
Yeah, that's so
and
that's
as awesome. You said, Laura, it helps understand death.
And to embrace that, right, with the kids. I mean, let them grieve the way they're going to grieve. I mean, I think
follow them. Yeah,
yeah, right. Don't lead them.
Right.
Follow them. And let them lead the way.
And us not trying to fix it, I think, too, is really important, right?
Yes.
So trying to justify it by telling them stories.
We can't bring Holly back.
No, Holly is dead. She's gone. And so allowing them to cry and grieve, and there's going to be some not understanding. Of course there is, you know, of Drew asking.
Angry.
Yeah, and Drew is angry. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, this cranial sacral appointment was amazing to watch his energy shift. Mm-hmm. And he then came over to me after Carol was done and said, you know, Mom, I'm really actually sad. And I said, I'm really sad too, buddy. You know, and just to let him kind of process what he needs to process. So I've been really trying, even though I'm really sad and kind of I've been rushing around today, which normally I would cancel my day, but Holly decided to let me know that that wasn't. I've really tried to stay calm around the boys because I think that's the energy that they need in this moment. Mm-hmm. And it's been great to have Annie, our babysitter, because she's really staying really calm.
Yeah. It's our half hour just really flew by, but I think, Larry, having you in here was perfect to talk about that and talk about everything that kids go through.
Yeah, thanks for having me today. Yeah. You know, this was a special day because Holly's death brings a lot of love into the world, closeness. And hearing you guys share about your relationship with your kids around Holly's death, holding, crying, the tenderness, the amount of love that was created there is wonderful.
That's really
so I wish to thank both of you, but also Holly for all the love Holly brought into the world, for all of us and into your family.
Yeah.
And thanks. I feel really humble and honored that I got to be here with you on this particular show today.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry.
Hey, I love you both so much.
We love you too, Larry. Thank you for being here.
If you guys out there, if you're in the Portland area, want to learn more about Larry, counselor and trainer, go to LarryRogers.com. Check that out, and you can reach out to him as well. He's wonderful, been a big part of our lives, and we appreciate that. But it is time to get out of here. Thanks to everybody who wrote in on Facebook and all of your sweet, wonderful comments. Really, really appreciate that. It's going to be an interesting weekend. I hope you have all a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I'm going to go celebrate the birthday, and I don't know how, but we're going to hang out.
Happy birthday, Todd.
Yeah, you took the wind out of my sails. I was going to say happy birthday, honey.
Well, thank you.
Tomorrow is your birthday.
I know. The big 4-3. Whoa, watch out, people. Here we come.
Time for rebirth.
Yep. Anyway. All right. Time for us to get out of here, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm Todd Mansfield.
And I'm Laura Mansfield.
Catch you next time with another edition of Parenting Unplugged Radio.